Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about money. Isn't that one of your favorite topics? Well, it is one of mine. How would you like to know about missing money? Maybe money that somebody has, well, in the family or some distant relative that had left something that you didn't even know existed. Well, we have a guest, Mary Pittman. She is going to be talking to us about that very thing. Now, she is a journalist, and she has really worked overtime on developing her missing money skills, searching skills. Mary, welcome to the show.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you, Donna.
Well, Mary, this is really a lot of fun for me. Your book is a little book. It is not a gigantic thing to have to go through. And your book talks about all kinds of things, miscellaneous monies. You talk about international unclaimed property sites. Mary, what was it that got you on this road of saying, I want to find out about missing money? What's your story?
Actually, one of the nurses that I work with told me about the missingmoney.com site, and I thought, oh, you are so gullible. Oh, my God. I'm going to go to the site. I'm going to show you what a scam it is. There is no way something like this is real. And I found two listings for my father who died incompetent and indigent in 2001.
Wow.
And I looked at it and I thought, how did they know his address? How did they know I'd be looking? And then I realized just the depth and breadth of it, that there is no way this could be a scam. So I filled out the paperwork. I sent in what was required. And about 5 weeks later, I had a check in my hand for $2,550.76. I became a believer.
Wow. Now, with this, because it was with your dad, was this an insurance policy that had never been collected on?
He had MetLife stock when they did the demutualization, and when he was getting Alzheimer's, he didn't tell anybody about it because, well, he probably
he
forgot.
He couldn't remember. Right.
Right. And I was absolutely stunned, but I became a believer, and when I work in the recovery room, sometimes in the weekend and on the weekend and in the middle of the night, there's a lot of time between patients. So I would play on the site and look for different ways to find people. And every time I would think of what I thought was an outrageous way, no, there's no way there would be anything listed like this, I found listings.
Amazing. Now, this is really something that I think is quite significant because you've brought up a very good point. Finding money that people didn't know someone had. I had a very dear friend. Her husband died suddenly, and it was really devastating on multiple levels, and the financial level especially, because he had been out of work for a good deal of time. And he was in his 60s, late 60s when he passed. And so she was just looking at all kinds of costs, and she just happened to come across a document and going through papers where he had purchased an insurance policy. Now, she was able to find that. But that could happen also, couldn't it? An insurance policy that someone might carry, and the heir apparent should have gotten it, but just like with the stocks that your dad had, they weren't mentioned. There was no record of them. This is really, and there's billions of dollars like this floating around, correct?
Absolutely. The state unclaimed property sites, just the state sites, have almost $33 billion in unclaimed property. That doesn't include things like unclaimed savings bonds that have stopped earning interest. There's 40 million of them that have stopped earning interest that should be cashed in and reinvested. That value is estimated to be more than $16 billion.
Oy gavilt. That's hard to wrap
yeah.
your mind around. $16 billion?
Billion with a B.
Woo! Okay.
Can you imagine if all of this money got out into the economy First of all, it wouldn't be a tax on anybody. It's money that belongs to people and charities and nonprofits and businesses. Can you imagine this influx into the economy?
Amazing. Amazing.
And the life insurance thing, that's one of the listings that I found for one of the viewers on Susie Orman, for one of the people that's going to be in the audience. It's $19,117, and because of the way it's listed, it's not listed under her name. It's listed under the bank and then FBO under the address for the benefit of and the person's name. And when it's listed that way, with FBO and the person's name under the address, you can't find it by searching the name. You just have to kind of scroll through.
That is incredible. That's absolutely amazing.
We're going to change lives with this show.
Oh, no kidding. Absolutely.
We found big listings.
Oh, my goodness. Now, let's talk about a subject that you get into right at the very first part of your book, and that is finder's fees. Today, I know. And today's world, we have so many scams going on. It's unbelievable because of our electronic technology. It seems like every week we are getting one person or another or a situation where people are saying, gee, we can do this for you. You get emails that say so-and-so's looking for you, or I can help you find lost money, just like we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
For those listeners that may not be aware of finder's fees, what are they? Who are the people that do this? What's positive about it? What's negative about it?
Okay. This is one of my favorite topics. And this is one of the reasons I wrote my book, was because I want to empower people to be able to do this on their own and avoid the finder's fees. There are professional agencies out there that this is how they make their living. They comb the state unclaimed property site. They look at the county, city, and state tax refunds, and they'll contact people, not tell you where it is, of course, and for a fee, they will reunite you with your money. To me, it's like having to pay a ransom to get your own money, and I just think it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many people have told me, you should be charging people for this, and it just goes against everything I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And something really important for people to know is that most states have limits on what the finders can charge. For example, one of my friends got contacted by a finder who wanted 33% of his $10,000-plus listing from his business.
Ouch.
So my friend contacted me and said, you should be doing this. You can make a boatload of cash. I mean, I got him down to $3,000. I said, no.
Mm-hmm.
And this was all in Illinois. I said, go to the Illinois Unclaimed Property site. He said, I thought you looked me up and I didn't have anything. I said, I looked up your name. I don't know what businesses you have. So he went to the state unclaimed property site, looked himself up. There's the listing, and found it in under 2 minutes. The thing is, he was contacted by an attorney, and you would assume, wrongly in this case, that an attorney knows the law and abides within it. The Illinois law on finder's fees, when they're on the state unclaimed property site, is 10%.
Oh, boy, what a rip.
Yeah.
He
included stuff about what a good church-going person he was, and he's with this organization and that one, and I thought, it's a little bit of an overkill here,
mm-hmm.
which made me highly suspicious.
This is just amazing, and let's reinforce that because we have a national audience, but we also have an international audience, that you check the state and or the country's rulings, whatever might be in
yes.
place. Now, there...
And if you get contacted by someone, the first thing you should do is check the state unclaimed property site.
The state unclaimed property site.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There are four terms that you say we need to be familiar with. Tell us what those four terms are.
Okay, the first one is the holder. It refers to the person or the company that has the money that needs to be turned over to the state, be it a bank, a utility company, whoever is holding the money, the stock company, the bank for the safe deposit box. Those are the, anyway, it's just to clarify. The other one is the owner of the property, and that's you or your business or your charity or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And a sheet is refers to money that has been turned over to the state. Each state has different dormancy periods. Most of them are going from 5 years down to three, which brings more money into the state coffers and makes your money available to you sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And the dormancy period means the period of inactivity, the time since you last had contact with your account. Pre-escheat means that period between the dormancy period and when it actually gets turned over to the state. And when it's, something is in the pre-escheat phase, the rules for finder's fees do not apply. So the finder may tell you, you've got a limited time to get this, and that's what they did with my friend.
Mm-hmm.
When in all actuality, it may be that there's a limited time before it gets over, before it gets turned over to the state, and you can find it on your own.
And then you say that, again, the best place to start is missingmoney.com.
Missingmoney.com and unclaimed.org. Missingmoney.com, you can do a search of, I think it's 35 states.
Mm-hmm.
You can do most of the states by searching that. But not all of the states participate. So the best way to check and see if your state does or doesn't is just click on the map on the homepage of missingmoney.com, and it will take you to a color-coded map, and you can search the individual states that way. Personally, I find more listings by going to the individual states because the very new listings and the very old ones aren't on missingmoney.com.
If you had, let me just toss this question in. Let's say there was a member of family. Let's say it was somebody's mother.
Okay.
And that mother dies, and they had settled her estate. And maybe she's had an insurance policy. She lived in a particular state. She paid taxes in that particular state. And they wanted to see if there was any money that was left to heirs. There was any money. Would they look for her and under her name? Because she maybe did not have, even though she might have had a will talking about certain things, she wouldn't have had the, let's say, beneficiaries necessarily listed.
Correct.
How would you handle that?
That is, there's a lot going on with the insurance companies right now. There's no easy way to search for an insurance policy. There's no centralized location. In Ohio, you can contact the Department of Insurance and fill out a form, and they send it out to everybody who's licensed in that state. And if they do have an insurance policy, then they will if they did write an insurance policy for your loved one, then they will contact you. Louisiana, you can contact them, and they will let you know if your loved one had any policy that was written in Louisiana. Other than that, your only option is to go company by company. And you can
Holy
get the information
Joseph.
On that. And you need to search whatever state your loved one lived in and go state by state. I mean, go company by company. There are a couple of businesses that will search for you for a fee.
Mm-hmm.
But what has come to light, and I'm so proud of this because I had it in my book before it became national knowledge. In, I think it was April or May of this year, what came to light is that California had been doing an audit on the insurance companies, and what they found was that the companies were using the Social Security Death Index, a national database of people who died, to find out if they need to stop paying on a annuity because the person they're paying it to has died. However, they have not been using the very same database to find out if a life insurance policy holder died and they need to make a payout.
Interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting.
There's no legal requirement for them to search for a beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the other thing is, if the life insurance company does not know that there has been a death, then they don't turn it over. Once they are notified of the death, then it gets listed under the beneficiary's name.
And if those if that beneficiary is not listed at all, then...
It should be on the insurance policy, though.
Well, I know with some people, but I've known people that didn't really have... They may have had a beneficiary, but maybe that beneficiary died. So in the will, it would say something would go to so-and-so, and XYZ is no longer around, and ABC is. So it's very interesting, because this could end up being quite a fascinating journey for someone to take. But again, that is something you covered. Now, you talk about the name game in here, and you say keep it simple. Don't put in too much information. I would think you couldn't with a name. Why is it that we'd be concerned about this?
The less you put in, the broader the search.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you can put in, and this is something nobody would ever think of to do, you can put in just a first name where it asks for the last name, and you will get listings. Just, let's say, Mary. You'll get an address, a city, and a state.
Whoa.
In which case, you just need to go through and see if it matches any place that you lived.
Hmm. Interesting.
And you can start with just your last name and first name initial, and then build on it from there. For instance, if I'm looking up somebody named Catherine, I'll just put in K-A-T, because that will bring me Kat, Kate, Kathy, Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
And I get multiple forms of the name.
Now, you say we should also look up all of the names that have ever been used, we have ever used.
Absolutely. I found my father's listing by looking up my maiden name.
Fascinating. By looking up your maiden name. Okay.
Yes.
And then you say, don't forget to look up friends and family, including those that have passed on.
Yes, and I've got a couple of great search tips for those who have passed on. Under the last name, if you enter estate of or the estate of,
mm-hmm.
you will get listings. You will get a lot of listings. In California alone, those two entries will bring up over 12,500 listings. If you don't look it up the way it's entered, you will not find it. In New York, it brings up over 2,400 listings. It's staggering the number that are out there.
Now, there is something that you brought up that I thought, wow, this could be a challenge. If there is a listing that's quite old, and mm-hmm. one has to send proof that one lived at that address, but you don't have it. I mean, think about how many of us, we throw away records after a certain time period, you know, tax information and that type of stuff. And you say that there are ways that we could find out that information that we don't need to get stressed out over it.
Well, I do put some options in the book. And that is, it seems to be, my mom is having this very same issue with my grandmother. They want proof that she lived at an address from like 60 years ago. And I feel like telling them, you show me proof that you or your family lived someplace 60 years ago, and I'll show you proof that my family lived someplace 60 years ago. To me, it's just a, you know, if the name and the date of birth and the Social Security number and everything match, then what is the point of this? To me, it's just to keep it in the state coffers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking a lot. We're talking $60. This was the case with my grandmother.
Now, what about charities and churches? Why is this so important?
You know, I don't know why the state unclaimed property sites do not make an effort to find these. I mean, I found them. They're listed right there. Look up March of Dimes. Look up American Heart Association. Look up Avon 3-Day Breast Cancer Walk. They're all listed. Make-A-Wish. And especially in these down economic times, this is money that's just sitting there. They just need to have somebody claim it. And in a lot of cases, they're donations that were never received, and if they were never received, they never got acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you don't acknowledge a donation, the donor may go someplace else.
You have a fun fact in your book. You say the oldest person in the nation to receive unclaimed property is 102-year-old Zelma Fraley.
From Barackville, West Virginia.
West Virginia at 102 years old. How much did she get? Do you remember?
I don't know. I only had the information that she was the oldest person. I believe it was about $400 or $500, though. I just don't remember the exact amount.
Let's cover the subject of hospitals. I was surprised. I said, hospitals? Why in the world are we going to look up hospitals? What is going to be an advantage of checking out a hospital?
Well, in the days of Medicare cuts and further decreases in revenue and shorter stays for patients, and it's almost uniformly insurance payments. One of the doctors that I found money for said, BCBS can't find me, Blue Cross Blue Shield. He said, they can certainly find me when they want a refund.
Mm-hmm.
I notified my hospital. That was 3 years ago. They still haven't claimed the money. And the thing is, with so many hospitals going to medical center, they need to look up not only XYZ hospital, but also XYZ medical center. Because it can be listed both ways. If it's a corporate hospital, then look under the corporate name too, like Columbia Hospital.
Now, you say there are some big bucks with businesses and corporations.
Oh, my God, the money is staggering.
How so? I mean,
that's the largest single listing I found for anybody, anywhere, was a business listing for Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I called them. All I said was, I'm not looking for a fee. Just if you could say something nice that I could use on my website, that would be great. $348,000. Nobody would call me back. And that was just one listing. There were 90 listings total.
Now, is that for stocks or?
In that case, yes. It was actually Viacom stock. The high dollar amounts do tend to be stocks. The mm-hmm. largest single amount paid out in New York to an individual was $4 million from a stock claim.
Woo-hoo!
There's a man in California with almost 500 listings that comes to just about $1.6 million. And they're dividends from stocks.
And he didn't even know that they existed prior to the search.
That is my goal in life, is to be missing $1.6 million and not even realize it.
Wow.
La-di-da.
My goodness. My goodness. This is so fascinating. I had a client a few years back who was married to a man who, she was like 20, 30 years younger than he was. They'd been married for a long time, and when he passed away, he was close to 90. And to her amazement, she found out that a lot of the stocks that supposedly he had in Standard Oil,
mm-hmm.
the old stocks,
mm-hmm.
they had disappeared. And
oh,
she
my.
Ended up having someone that was a friend that was located at the Pentagon, and someone that also was with a particular, actually had been in charge of the old archives for Standard Oil, and it was his last day. He was getting ready to retire. She
mm-hmm.
calls him, and he said, this is my last day. Let me look up everything for you. He knew exactly where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he found all of this stuff in her husband's name.
Oh, my God.
And attorneys and others had refused to give her any information, and she found it.
Well, here's what people need to do if they're in that situation. If they know the name of the stock company,
mm-hmm.
go to the website, and under Investor Relations, what you want to look for is the name of the transfer agent.
The name of the
They handle the administrative work of stocks.
Ah.
In fact, that's how my book actually came about, was one of the nurses I work with. I found a listing for her, and I took it up to her, and she was almost speechless and in tears at the same time. She said, Mary, I've been getting calls and letters from attorneys and businesses saying I have all this money out there, but everybody wants a lot of money to help me find it. I was determined to find this on my own, but I didn't know where to begin. And that's mm-hmm. when I thought, I bet she's not alone. I bet there's other people like her. I should mm-hmm. put my search tips together in a book. And one of her listings was for stock from her mom when her mom worked for American Express. And that was the big bucks one. That was $7,200, and the company wanted $2,100 to put her in touch with that. In the meantime, the stock gained value. She got another letter from them wanting more money, even though they've already found her and done all the work.
Amazing.
So she ended up contacting the transfer agent, and she will have to pay something. She will have to pay $285 for probate costs.
Whoa. Yes, right. That is just, holy Moses. Gee whiz.
Yes.
Gee
and when she
whiz.
Got her money, when I gave her the listing that I found for her, which was not the stock, she looked herself up, found additional listings, and she called me from the post office one day, absolutely sobbing. She said, Mary, I've been out of work. I fell and broke my arm. I'm at the post office. I have checks for, and it came to over $2,500. She's at this point sobbing. She said, I don't have insurance. I didn't know how I was going to pay my rent.
Wow. That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Now, there's also something, too, and I know we're getting close to running out of time here, but you have information on the Veterans Administration because there are definite benefits. Sometimes people don't know that are available to survivors of veterans. You have all kinds of information going into banking, financial services, stocks, and I have to chuckle because you say the state of Iowa has more than 2 million shares of stock waiting to be claimed. You've got all kinds of references to performance royalties, retirement benefits, 401k, life insurance. I mean, it goes, and this is a little book, folks. This isn't a gigantic book. This is a little book that you can go page by page, and you can check things out. And what have you
got
to
lose? It's a little bit content rich.
Absolutely. It is really content rich, and you give the change of name, address, checklist in here. There's just so much there. You've just put together this marvelous publication. And Mary, what is your website where people can check this out, find out about your book, and more about what you're doing?
It's www.thelittlebookofmissingmoney.com. And they can look for me on Susie Orman's new show. It will be airing the beginning of the year. I'm going to be taping it this weekend, and it's called The Money Class. And we're going to be finding money for people in the audience, and it's just going to be awesome.
Well, I bet it will be. And I'm just so excited for you. I met you in New York at the National Publicity Summit, and I thought, gee, this is an intriguing topic, and it really is. And for so many people today, they may have a relative, they might have all kinds of things that they just are not aware of at all that definitely will be very much of a benefit to them, just like the stories that you have shared. Who knows? There might be 500, 5,000, 50 million. Who knows?
You never know. You have nothing to lose by looking.
Mm-hmm.
And go to unclaimed.org or missingmoney.com. Those are the two sites. If you are on a site that is trying to get you to pay, you are on the wrong site.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, there you've got it. It's right from the person, Mary Pittman, who took the time to help friends, but also put together this little book. It is power-packed, The Little Book of Missing Money, and it is a quick and easy guide to finding money that's rightfully yours. This is Donna Sebo here. Mary, thank you ever so much for being with me today. Check out her book, The Little Book of Missing Money.com. And again, she's going to be on the Susie Orman Show, and that's going to be in the new year, in January of the new year, 2012. Donna Sebo here. Again, Mary, thank you for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in Physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I'm so glad you were able to join us. Now the telephone lines are open. If you would like to call in and chat with me and let me light your life up with a little bit of insight, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And of course, then after that, then let me tell you what I perceive, and then you can ask me a question about anything you like. For those of you that are listening from California, I am going to be traveling to California, and I'm going to be in different areas. I'm going to be doing an appearance and broadcast in Santa Barbara, California. That is going to be on the 21st of September. I'll be traveling from there, going down to Santa Ana, and then I'll be back into the Glendale-Burbank area. So if you or anyone you know wants to meet with me in person or by phone for a private session with me, I'm going to be available. And all you have to do is call my office, 253-582-5604, and we'll be able to schedule some time together. And also, I will be letting people know about the programming, and it's all in my newsletter. If you want to get a copy of that and you're not a subscriber, go to DelphiInternational.com, and you'll find everything posted there for you. Again, telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. Well, tomorrow we're going to be talking about destiny versus choice. Marie Jones is going to be our guest, and Marie has been on the show before. This is a woman who thoroughly enjoys doing research. That is a passion for her, and she has some people that she works with, and they put out some of the most interesting material. So we're going to be talking with her tomorrow. And then John Schuster will be discussing the power of your past. How many times do we let our past suffocate us instead of using it as leverage to propel us forward? Well, lots of times it's indoctrination. We assume we're supposed to use it against ourselves, and it's on a subconscious level that we have this attitude. So we'll be talking about how you reverse it. On Friday, my friend Tom Sawyer, we're going to be doing a repeat of the show because I'm going to be doing a Best of Donna on Friday, and we're going to be talking with my friend Tom Sawyer, who is the writer and producer of the show Murder, She Wrote with Angela Lansbury. His publication is called The 16th Man. It is a real gripper, and I know you'll enjoy listening to that. So that's what's coming up this week, and if you want to find out more about the other guests that are going to be coming up this month, then check out show information right here on bbsradio.com. Well, I came across some information regarding digital cameras, and I have to tell you, I am utterly astonished at the speed that is evolving with technological advancement. I'm just amazed. I have in front of me a photograph it's a photograph of two cats. And there's one focus on the photograph, and then there's another. Well, apparently, these are demonstrations of how a particular new camera process is going to be working. This new camera is going to have shutter bugs that will eliminate one of the biggest problems that we experience with cameras, and that's fuzzy subject. There's a company called Lytro, and this is not going to be inexpensive, folks. Why? Because it's just coming out, and this company has really worked hard. So this is typically what happens when something new comes onto the market. It's usually got a big dollar price on it, and then it gets down to where the average individual can afford it. It's going to be using this special sensor and very sophisticated software that allows you to see and adjust a picture's focus after you've snapped the photograph. I wonder if they can fix red eye, too. Have you ever noticed photographs? I just got one from someone, and the individual's eyes were bloody red, and it's just what happens sometimes, depending on lighting and what you need to do. If you're really good at using certain software programs, you can erase that out. But otherwise, you've got this red eye that's glaring at you. You look like a monster from some horror film. Well, relative to this wonderful new camera, and again, the company is Lytro, L-Y-T-R-O, it means that there's not going to be any shutter lag issue either. And the camera doesn't have to wait for the automatic focusing to kick in. It's something that is absolutely amazing. And it was written up in the New York Times. Richard Cook Hernandez said that he's tested it, and it is absolutely amazing. So can you imagine? I mean, this is just, it's just phenomenal. Incredible. Star Trek is coming into reality. I mean, this is just amazing. I'm still waiting for those handheld computer things to be able to evaluate people. I know that they have been made, but I don't know how efficient or effective they are at this time. But that's going to be coming down the pike probably within 5 years. Now, there's a new word that I did not know existed. It's called surveillance. And this came out. There is a Clive Thompson that wrote, said, the monitoring of events not by those above, like in surveillance, but by citizens from below. Now, this is a term, and it's spelled S-O-U-S-V-E-I-L-L-A-N-C-E. It was coined by Steve Mann in the 1990s, and a lot of people around the globe that are very much pro-democracy have been using it, and it's in reference to those people who are broadcasting scenes of violence by the secret police on the Internet. Things have really changed. It used to be it would take months, sometimes years, before you'd find out things. And now here we are in a world today where it's literally minutes, if not seconds, before people are able to upload things and put them out for the world to see. So it is just absolutely incredible. Also, what we've got here is a new piece of body armor. Boy, I'll tell you, when I think of the movies that Arnold Schwarzenegger made so many years ago, one was called The Runner, and then there was another one about Mars, and there were very futuristic things. Well, it's coming into the real world. This is about, what about RoboCop, that type of thing? Well, they have got what looks like a prop from one of those superhero movies, but it's not. It's called the Bodyguard, and it fits like a glove over one arm, and it has within it, I mean, it's absolutely amazing. I'm looking at a picture of this. It has a high-voltage stunner, a video camera, a laser pointer, and a flashlight. And it was originally designed as a weapon that bikers could use to combat mountain lions. Now, the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department is going to be testing it to see if their officers will find it of value. This is for real. This is what's coming about. Absolutely amazing. And if you've been concerned about economic indicators, Wall Street always is doing its postings. And if you're an investor, that's something you want to stay on top of. Well, there was a pawnbroker who said that he and his fellow shop owner saw that the economy was going to really get back in 2006. And he said how we knew things were going. This is a pawnbroker. He said, we had more customers coming in to give us items for sale from middle-class communities and even those in the upper middle class. He said, we saw the erosion of the economy before you even read about it. Why is it that those people in the big decision-making positions don't check things like this? Why is it that they're blind? It's a good question to ask. And many times, people cannot give us answers. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. Phone number here is 888-627-6008. Well, I'm going to have a chocolate recipe for you that I hope that you will enjoy. And also, I have some information here that I just wanted to share with you quickly. It is by Bass DeLu, and he is a person that works out of the United Nations Environment Program, which is based in Paris. And he started a worldwide movement quite a while ago that he wanted to see more information put out to the consumer about sustainable consumption and production, manufacturing regulations and things like that. And this is something that he said that I thought was well worth sharing with you. He said, sustainability is not about fighting against the waves of technology, industry, and economics. It's about riding them and determining ourselves where we land. The creativity, the knowledge, and the resources are at hand. It is time to answer. Do consumers have to go on blindly satisfying their desires while looking away from the poor and helpless to sink deeper and deeper? We have the choice between consuming and caring. That vision gives power. It will bring about a new world. We'll be reconnected with nature, with other people, and with ourselves. Now, let us dare to move. I think I would like to add something to that, and that is we need to be open to innovation. I was watching a program last night about the bees, and I'm sure you've heard the story about the bees and how there has been really a concern, because populations of bees around the world, were just disappearing. No dead bodies. They were just gone. The beekeepers would go out, find the hives totally empty. What's going on here? Well, there have been many researchers, Spain, the United States, England, Israel, New Zealand, all around the world, there are labs that were trying to find out because they were all finding their bee colonies being affected. They found a number of things. One, they felt pesticides was having an effect. Two, they felt that large agricultural areas where there's no diversity of flowers and items to pollinate weakened the bees. And there were a number of other different components in the program. Very well stated. What we forget many times is the fact that we're a part of this earth and that we as custodians and as guardians need to be observant and need to be aware. Now, I did an interview with Fetzer Wineries many, many years ago, and I will tell you, they, at that time, had already been into the development of organic wines. And what happened with Fetzer, because I interviewed the president of Fetzer Wineries, and what they did was a test. They had a section of the winery for this test that they put aside. One they treated with the pesticides like they always did, and the other they didn't. And what they found was that the wine had a much different taste without the pesticides. And they determined ways where they could keep the pests down. Part of that was using chickens. The chickens would go around and pick off the bugs, and they also found that there were things that they could allow to grow between the vines, instead of keeping it meticulously clean, items to grow between the vines that were going to contribute to the health and the well-being of those vines. So they have been doing this. They incorporated thoughts that the French have been using for centuries, and they have had a wonderful, wonderful result. This is what it takes. Farming is always a very delicate balance. There is no way to make it easy. I don't care how sophisticated we get, because you're always going to have to deal with pests. and locusts have wiped out more than one crop. So if we don't take care of what we have around us, we then can experience a very, very high level of famine throughout the world. The bees are very, very important. So just as a thought, if you have a garden, if you're in an environment like California where the weather's nice most of the time, what you want to do is make sure wherever you are, doesn't have to be California, wherever you are, have those items in the garden that are diverse, your flowers, your fruit trees, whatever you've got, because without them, we're going to end up having to pollinate by hand like an area of China has had to do, because they killed off all the bees with all the pesticides that they used on the crops. The bees are non-existent in a certain area of China. And these people grow pears, and the pear flowers have to be pollinated, every single one of them, by hand. And they're not anywhere as efficient as bees. So we need to be aware of these things and to learn from those who have had to revert to alternatives. Fascinating stories. Fascinating items. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be coming back in just a moment. I'll have that chocolate recipe for you. Don't go away and have that pad of paper and pen handy. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I've got a recipe here for a chocolate Lamington pound cake. Now, I don't know about you, but chocolate is just absolutely magical as far as I'm concerned. And this is a pound cake that I think you'll just get all kinds of oohs and ahs from the people that will be eating it. It is really good. So here we go with the recipe. You're going to need 3/4 of a cup of butter. 3/4 of a cup of superfine sugar, 3 eggs, lightly beaten, and by the way, you want all of the ingredients at room temperature, 3 eggs, lightly beaten, 1 1/4 cups of self-rising flour, 1 1/4 cups of self-rising flour. You're going to need 2 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa, 2 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa, and use the good stuff. Yes, 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 dark chocolate. And then you're going to need 1 3/4 ounces of dark chocolate. You want to break that into pieces. Take a hammer after you put it in the chocolate in a plastic bag and just go whack, whack, whack. Or whatever, you know, the equivalent thereof. 5 tablespoons of milk. Use whole milk. If you want, you can use like evaporated milk or cream, but use full-bodied milk. Don't use the diet stuff. 1 teaspoon of butter, 3/4 of a cup of confectionery sugar, and you're going to need about 8 tablespoons of shredded coconut and 2/3 of a cup of heavy cream. Now that cream will need to be whipped. So you can just put that in a bowl and stick it in the refrigerator so it gets nice and cold. Now these are the directions. You're going to need to grease a 1-pound loaf pan. And it needs to be about 3 by 10 inches. And then that's all, put that aside. Then you cream together, your butter and sugar in your mixing bowl. Let it just whip until it gets light and fluffy. And gradually add your eggs, beating well after each one. Then, while that's going on, you can sift together the flour and the cocoa. And you take that mixture, and you don't beat it in. You fold it in to your sugar, butter, and eggs. Then you take that mixture, put it into the prepared pan, and you make sure that you level the top. And you bake it in a preheated oven, which has been heated to 350 degrees for about 40 minutes or until it is springy to the touch. I used like to use a cake tester right in the middle of it to see. And for me, that's like one of those skewer sticks that you get for barbecuing, whatever meat that you would do on the grill. And you just, they are great because they're long. And I just find that it's really easy to check out something like this pound cake. Now, the cake, once it's cooked, you take it out of the oven, obviously, and you let it stand for about 5, maybe 10 minutes as it's cooling. And then after that amount of time, run the knife around the edge and turn it out onto a wire rack. And it needs to cool completely before you will do the rest of what needs to be done. Now, your chocolate, your milk and butter, the additional ingredients, your ounces of dark chocolate, your tablespoons of milk, your 5 tablespoons of milk, and your 1 teaspoon of butter. You need to put that in a double boiler, and you stir it until the chocolate melts. Then you're going to add in your confectionery sugar, and you want to beat it until it's smooth. And you can use a wire whisk if you like, or what you can do is just go ahead and use an electric mixer if you've got a handy one, a handy electric mixer. And you want to cool the frosting until it's thick enough to spread. And then you want to just put that frosting all over the outside of your cooled cake. And then you want to sprinkle it with your shredded coconut and put it on the sides. Just cover the cake with the coconut. And if you're like me, you're always going to use a little bit extra. And then just allow that to set. So you might want to put it in the refrigerator. Or you just may want to leave it on the counter, whatever your preference is. Now, this is what would really give it that special, special effect. When the frosting has set, you're going to cut a V-shaped wedge from the top of the cake, and you set that aside. Then you take your 2/3 of a cup of heavy cream that you have whipped, and you just put that in a pastry bag that you've got a star tip on it if you want, or you can just take a plastic bag, cut a hole in the end of the plastic bag, and just pipe the cream down the center of that gap. Put the wedge of the cake on top of the cream, and take a little bit of the cream extra that you have maybe put aside, and pipe a line of cream along the seam that will have been created by that wedge, and then it's ready to go. And if you're not going to serve it right away, put it in the refrigerator. The cream will stay firm. And I always like to add a little bit of sugar to the cream and sometimes a pinch of cream of tartar to give it that extra body. So that's your chocolate Lamington pound cake. And I guarantee you, you'll get oohs and ahs. And a variation, if you wanted to do something different, you could always, if you had any fudge sauce or if you wanted to make some extra of the chocolate, just melt chocolate, you could go and put that across the top of the cake. Really, there's a lot of things you can do, but this is a real good basic cake that I know that you will enjoy. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Thank you so much for being with me today, and we'll be talking tomorrow about destiny and choice. Hope you can join us. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.